This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now it's 9:17 in the morning, Tuesday the 24th of December. And the KLCI, taking a look at how it's doing, it's still down 0.4% in truly festive moods, 1,607 points. Looking at Bursa Malaysia and the top gainers this morning are led by MCT. So that's seen a 8% change in share price upwards. They were last at 34 cent. Scanwolf Corp is up 6.3% at 25.5 cent. And Bina Puri is also up 5.6% at 9.5 cent. Now, taking a look at palm oil this morning, we have been looking at some of the main stories over this week that have made headlines over the course of the year. And really, you can't get much bigger than palm oil. In March this year, the European Union decided that palm oil should be phased out from transport fuel between 2023 and 2030 on the back of environmental concerns. And needless to say, this was not a particularly popular decision with Malaysia and Indonesia as the two largest producers of palm oil in the world.
Yeah, this was part of new regulations aimed at boosting the share of renewable energy in the bloc to 32% by 2030. And the European Commission's conclusion was that palm oil results in excessive deforestation, more so than other oils like soybean oil. And in reaction to this, Primary Industries Minister Theresa Koch then accused the EU of attempting to enrich Western farmers at the expense of farmers in poorer countries like Southeast Asia, Latin America and Africa.
I think I have to say this about the Primary Industries Ministry. I think they really need to up their game on negotiation tactics and narrative. I think blaming others is not going to help our case. I think we really need to tout our environmental credentials and make a strong case that we are not killing orangutans. I hope we are not. But, you know, I think we need to, you know, really relook at how we are negotiating this thing when we go up to the EU.
Yeah, but there could be other factors at play here too, because in conversation with other representatives from EU countries, the conclusion come from them is that palm oil is an extremely politicized topic. And we also earlier this year spoke with Jean-Marc Roda, economist at the French Agricultural Research Centre for International Development, or CIRAD, about the EU wanting to phase out palm oil. And he implied that the EU's decision may in fact be designed to protect its own products.
Palm oil is actually really dangerous for the competitiveness of the other vegetable oils that are produced inside the EU. You have to see that in the market of the world today, and it's happening in the European market as well, you have four major vegetal oils, sunflower, rapeseed, soybean, and palm oil. And these make almost 90% of the world consumption of vegetable oil. And among them, palm oil is definitely the most competitive. It's the one that is produced with the least area. So you need much less hectares to produce 1 liter than with the other oils. And on the volume, it's much less expensive to produce. So when you produce that oil and you sell on the EU market, of course, you're competing headfront to the oils that are produced locally in Europe, that are produced in temperate country, so which less productivity and which are much more expensive. So yes, there is a headfront commercial war.
And that was Jean-Marc Roda of CIRAD talking about the EU's decision to phase out palm oil. And so most recently in Indonesia, this trade spat over palm oil has escalated to involve dairy and alcohol products imported from the EU to Indonesia. Now, the EU did lodge a complaint at the World Trade Organization, and Indonesia promptly followed up with a lawsuit filed with the same body. So it doesn't really look as if this is going to be resolved amicably anytime soon.
Yeah, What Jean-Marc Roda says there about it comes down to yields, right? The palm oil's yields are much higher than that of the... everyone's protecting their own turf, essentially. The Europeans want to protect grapeseed and the Americans want to protect soy oil. And just everyone's looking after their own farmers, essentially.
And so looking at India, for example, so palm oil exports to India came under threat from another direction. And really, this was sparked by our very own Prime Minister Tun Mahathir in his speech at the United Nations. He had said India had invaded and occupied Kashmir. And so he really raised this as a big issue. And also then there was the question about Zakir Naik as well. And so hence you have this retaliation from India threatening that they will stop buying palm oil from us.
Yeah, so it's been not very amicable also bilateral trade relations with India recently, especially coming out of the KL summit. Tun Mahathir has also taken aim at the Indian citizenship bill. And if we remember, at one point, the Solvent Extractors Association of India did urge its members to refrain from importing Malaysian palm oil as a mark of solidarity with its government. And that association, you know, no small numbers, it consists of 875 members with a processing power of 30 million tons of oil seed annually. So it's been a little bit of a rocky situation in terms of our Malaysia-India relations. But even though Malaysia and Indonesia have both maintained that palm oil doesn't cause the kind of deforestation that the EU alleges it does, there have been also reports on some, you know, potentially questionable practices that have continued to mar the reputation of these palm oil producing countries. And one of these was the report put out by the Rainforest Action Network recently.
Yeah, the report estimated that some Malaysian banks channeled money into loans basically between 2015 and 2017. In August this year to 17 companies implicated in forest fires in Indonesia, and implicated Malaysian banks as the third largest lenders to companies that have issued a stop work order by the Indonesian government pending investigations. And by jurisdiction, China-based banks were the largest creditors and lending equivalent of 24 billion ringgit, followed by Indonesian banks at 19 billion ringgit.
So I think year 2020 is really going to be a year of housekeeping. I think like banks like Maybank and CIMB, they are coming out to say we are really, you know, to support sustainability and also climate change issues. That's something they are trying to champion. So I think now they have to take a serious look at their loan portfolios. Who have they been lending money to? Who are they funding? Are these companies also meeting the ESG requirements? Mm-hmm. So these are some things to look at. And 2020 is really going to be a big year for the climate change. I think there are supposed to be rounds of meetings where countries are not going to come back together as part of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, and they need to talk about whether they want to start raising their carbon cutting targets. So next year is going to be quite a critical year for the environment.
Indeed. And taking a look at CPO prices also this morning, CPO prices are currently at 2,907 ringgit per metric ton. That's down 0.2% on a daily basis, but it's actually up 30% on a year-to-date basis. And there have also been some analyst reports anticipating that CPO prices will continue to recover going into 2020. So that's a little bit of positivity there. And while we're at it, let's take a look at some plantation stocks. So FGV is obviously one of the largest players, and FGV this morning is at 1 ringgit and 41 cent. They are up 0.7% this morning. KL Kepong is untraded. They are still at 24 ringgit and 80 cent. IOI Corp is slightly down 0.2% at 4 ringgit and 59, while United Plantations also on here but untraded, 26 ringgit and 70 cent.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.